Hello. In this session, we want to talk about another motivation theory, and this is Hertzberg's theory of motivation. Quite a useful one to think about, and certainly in terms of how it can affect your behaviour as a leader, it's definitely worth giving a little bit of time to thinking about. Before we start, what I'd like you to do is press pause, and then I'd like you to have a look at the PDF, which is about motivation factors. And I'd like you to complete the questionnaire or the exercise on the motivation factors. And then when you've done that, we'll have a look at what that means and what other people think about it, how it's affected other people, and what you can do in terms of your behavior to get the best out of the people, to help them become intrinsically motivated if they are, but also to provide that extrinsic motivation from your point of view as a leader. So press pause. Do the questionnaire, and then we'll come back in a few minutes. Okay, welcome back. So if you've completed the questionnaire, what I'd like to do now is to take you through some results of the same questionnaire that was undertaken in lots and lots of organizations. I don't know exactly how many, but it was certainly a large quantity of organizations, and all of the information was collated to give a general kind of overview about what people's perceptions about what motivates people in terms of those sort of top five, top six motivation factors. So here we are. This is a kind of going down through an organization, starting with the senior managers' self-assessment of motivating factors. And as a general rule, the senior managers said that the most motivating factor for them was achievement. So it was the feeling of achievement, sense of achievement, and actually getting things done. Number two was around advancement and promotion. Number three was job interest. Number four was salary. Number five was responsibility. And number six was growth within the job. And so asking them what motivated their team, so the next level down of management, the senior managers said that the things that motivate the people who work for them, direct reports, were number one, salary. Number two, advancement and promotion. Number three was recognition. Number four, they felt that their line managers were motivated by job interest. Number five, job security. And number six, status. So there's very different perception between what motivates senior managers in terms of what they thought motivated themselves and what senior managers thought motivated their line managers. Interestingly, when we asked the line managers and what motivates them, they came up with number one, achievement. Number two, job interest. Number three, advancement and promotion. So those two have kind of swapped around a little bit. Number four was salary, same as the senior managers. Number five was responsibility, same as senior managers. And number six, growth within the job, same as the senior managers. So the difference between what senior managers thought motivated their line managers and what actually motivated the line managers is quite interesting. And then when we asked the line managers what motivated their reports, they came up with this. Salary was number one. Number two was advancement and promotion. Number three was recognition. Number four, job security. Number five, job interest. Number six, status. So interestingly, the line managers, what the line managers thought motivated their direct reports was pretty much the same as what senior managers thought motivated their direct reports. So then when we asked the line managers' direct reports, probably first line supervisors, what motivated them, they came up with number one, achievement. Number two, job interest. Number three, salary. So salary's moved up a level, which you can kind of imagine, understand, because I guess the lower down an organization you get, the more important the money is. Number four was advancement and promotion. They wanted to be promoted. Number five was responsibility. Number six, growth within the job. So again, a big similarity in terms of what people perceive motivates themselves, compared to what their managers thinks motivates them. And then we asked all of everybody within the organization what motivates their managers, so the person above them, and they came up with, move this out of the way, They came up with number one, salary. Number two, relations with managers. Number three, status. Number four, job security. Number five, company policy and procedures. I can really see people being motivated by that. And advancement. So everybody, so first line supervision, then line managers, senior managers, everybody thought their boss was motivated primarily by salary. Secondly, relations with managers, status is really important, job security, company policy and procedures, and advancement. And so there's a real disparity here between what people think motivates them and what they think motivates other people. And yet it seems to be pretty much the same in terms of what motivates people generally. So all of those levels, regardless of what level they were, said that the thing that motivates them the most was achievement. But what that motivates other people the most was salary. So that's interesting in itself. And I guess what that really says is that what we need to do is find out what motivates the people who work for us and what motivates our managers, and just not assume that because we're motivated by achievement, everybody else is motivated by money. Now, you may have heard, of course, that lots of people say that people aren't motivated by money. Well, I disagree. I think people are motivated by money. I'm motivated by money. I do what I do because I get paid for it. I do enjoy it. I do feel a sense of achievement and all those other things. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But fundamentally, people do need the money. They are at work because they need the money and because they want the money. So money is an important motivation factor. And we'll look a little bit more about this in a second in terms of what Hertzberg calls the hygiene factor. So the things that make you want to carry on doing the job or not doing the job. So let's have a look at his theory on this. So following on from that exercise we did, and following on from the results of that exercise that we've just talked about and just shown you, Hertzberg did a very similar kind of process and lots of other research and came up with this model, which essentially talks about how people are motivated or demotivated. So the things that cause difficulty in a role or the things that are motivating. So on the green side of the zero, these are things that motivate people. On the red side, the things that demotivate people. And obviously, the same thing can motivate or demotivate. But we'll talk about that in a second. So let's look at number one, which is achievement. Then we've got recognition, work itself. So the fact that people come to work and work is motivating. Having a responsibility, advancement, less so, growth, less so, company policy and admin, definitely less so. Supervision, again, relationships with supervisors are important, but not a massive motivator. Working conditions, the environment that people are in, can motivate a little bit, but if it's wrong, it demotivates quite a lot. And so if we look at that balance, salary is the next one, and we'll talk about salary in specific in a minute. But if we look about achievement, achieving something within the job is a real motivator. But of course, people can only achieve something if they've got goals to achieve, if they know what they're aiming for and they can actually measure what they've done against a set of goals. So, you know, outcomes becomes really important, and it certainly becomes more important when we're working in a more flexible and remote approach, because people need to know what it is that they are expected to achieve during the day, and then they can be motivated by achieving it. Recognition is really, really important. And so, you know, you as a manager have got that responsibility to recognize the work that people have done. So recognition and reward are really, really important. And as we've said before, just a simple thanks can go a long way, because the thing about achievement, recognition, work itself, you don't really have to do a lot as a manager to make that work for people. You've got to communicate, you've got to give people, you've got to value their work. It's stuff that's completely within your control as their leader to be able to do that. And so not achieving is quite a demotivator, but not a massive one. Recognition can motivate, the lack of it demotivates. Work itself, obviously, people aren't working, then they're not motivated. Responsibility is quite a strong motivator, and very few people are demotivated by given responsibility. advancement. Some people want to be promoted. Some people aren't particularly bothered about it. But if people aren't being promoted, that can be demotivating. And if people are being promoted outside of their comfort zone, that can also be demotivating. Company policy and admin, not a massive motivator, but getting it wrong can really, really demotivate people. So the way that you administer, if you're not effective in your admin, if the policies are getting in the way of people achieving and doing the work, that can be really demotivating. Similarly with supervision, supervision isn't a massive motivator for most people, but it can be really demotivating if you get it wrong. So thinking about how you supervise people becomes really, really important. And so therefore the relationship is kind of important for people. It motivates, but and you get it wrong, it can demotivate people. Same with working conditions. Working conditions aren't a massive motivator, but get it wrong, it can demotivate quite a lot. And here we are with salary. And salary, there's quite a balance here. Salary obviously is important. You know, money does motivate people. If you get an increase in salary, of course, that's a real motivator for a short term. But then over the long term, you soon lose the effects of that motivation. It just becomes part of your general work. And bonuses are really about recognition and achievement. So you can recognize people's effort and achievement in ways that doesn't cost you money, that you don't have to put a large amount of bonus into that. What's important here in terms of people's expectation around all of these things, but salary is a great example of expectation. If I believe I'm getting paid less than I think the job is worth, then that's very demotivating. If I feel that I'm getting paid what the job's worth, then that's motivating. If I'm getting paid a lot more than I think the job's worth, that doesn't make me work twice as hard. So getting the salary right is really important in terms of people's perception of the value of the job is really important. So what we're saying here is that there are things that motivate, the lack of it demotivates people. But the things that are the most motivating for people are the things that you as the leader can have quite a lot of control over, in terms of setting goals that are achievable, in terms of recognizing effort, in terms of giving people work that's interesting, responsibility, giving them an advancement and growth within the job. All of those things are really helpful. And growth within the job, responsibility and so on, all comes down to delegation and the way that you delegate work to people, rather than, it's not just about dumping work on people, it's about delegating in a way that's going to add value to them, to make them feel like they're doing something that's important, that they value that responsibility. For me, what's really interesting about this model is that if you get it right, people are really motivated. If you get it wrong, what tends to happen is that people's perception about what's wrong isn't necessarily what is actually wrong. So that sounds a little bit complex, but what happens if people aren't getting the sense of achievement, the recognition, the rewards, the responsibility, the growth within the job, they tend not to complain about those things to themselves or to other people, but they start to focus on the hygiene factors, the things down at the bottom of that model. So things like the salary, oh, you don't pay me enough to do this, or this job's not worth enough. And so they might leave the organization for more money, but actually what they're really leaving it for is because of the problems associated with the lack of achievement or recognition or reward or support. To give you an example, one client I worked with many years ago was a food distribution company. And they paid everybody, you know, a minimum wage who worked in the warehouse at the time. And there was another food distribution company on the same industrial estate that was paying like a penny an hour more, I don't know, a bit more than that, it's like 50p an hour more for doing essentially the same job, because they're all picking and packing and distributing. So quite a lot of people were leaving the first company that was my client to go and work for the other one, because when you're on minimum wage, 50p an hour is quite worth having. What was interesting was, about 6 weeks or so later, after people started to leave, they'd started to come back. They were looking for jobs back at the original organization. And when we talked to them about it, and we kind of got underneath the discussions and so on and what people were saying, what was really the issue was the fact that they weren't being treated the same way. They weren't valued as much. They didn't have the recognition that they had in the original organization. They didn't feel a sense of achievement. They weren't set goals as well. They weren't communicated to. They weren't involved in discussions. It was very much a tell approach. Now, what's interesting for me in this is that the things around achievement and reward and recognition, responsibility and work itself, and all of those things at the top of that model, most of those are unconscious. Most of them are in our unconscious. And we tend not to bring them into our conscious mind to think, you know, am I getting enough achievement? Am I getting enough recognition? And what we do tend to do is then focus on those things that are tangible, like work, like working hours, like benefits. And say, so if the unconscious, the emotional things that are driving us aren't there, we tend to focus on the tangible things and say, well, they're not good enough. So hence, you know, oh, you don't pay me enough, or I'll go somewhere else for 50p an hour. Whereas actually I'm getting more value and I'm more motivated to work at 50p an hour less in this organization because of the way I'm treated, because of the way the leaders look after me. So essentially what we're saying here is that different people are motivated in different ways. We can generalize and say that, you know, people who feel valued are the ones who are more motivated than the ones who don't feel valued. Even if on the surface they don't appear to feel, to look like they want to be valued. You know, so when you say thanks to somebody and they go, oh, yeah, or what are you after? Actually, it's gone in and it still adds value. Everybody I've spoken to ever has wanted to be told that they've done a good job, likes being told that they've done a good job. And it's a very simple thing for us as leaders to do. There are other ways to reward people that aren't necessarily expensive, but can add value. So people are motivated from within. They are intrinsically motivated, but there are extrinsic motivators that are helpful as well. And what you might do as a leader is create the opportunity for people to be motivated, rather than actually motivate people, because it's very difficult for us, if not impossible, to motivate and make people be motivated, unless, you know, we're using that big stick of away from all the time and saying, you know, if you don't do that, you're going to lose your job and there are no jobs out there and so on. So that towards and away from we can think of as a carrot and a stick to a large extent, the carrot being the towards, the stick being the away from. And there are benefits in both of those. But if we're constantly saying, you know, if you don't do this, you won't have a job, then people will leave and people will do the minimum that they can get. If we can reward and we can encourage people towards the carrot, then we're much more likely to get the best out of them, whether it's us that are motivating them or whether it's us that are providing the environment for them to motivate themselves. So we've got a big responsibility as managers to lead people. But my view is that if we don't provide the environment for people to be motivated, we end up having to do more of the job. And the job for us as leaders becomes harder and harder. And I'd like an easy job. I'd like to have a fully motivated team of individuals who are all motivated, who perform really, really well. And like lots of things, motivation is simple. It's just about, it's not easy, and it's just about the way that we behave, the way that we lead the people in our team.